Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord for another exciting training day. Truly, what a privilege it is. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. This is December, 21st? Amen. It's the day of the winter solstice, so they call it the first day of winter. Amen. It's the longest night. Amen. But what I love about it, after this, every day gets 3 minutes longer. Giving, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's important. Hallelujah. Amen. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God, Jehovah, the Father. Amen. The blessed Holy Ghost, the angels, the saints of the Most High God. Amen. To my producer, amen, Pastor Gerald Overall, also known as Pastor O. Amen. And all the saints and friends, his lovely wife Sheila, amen. I say praise the Lord to all the saints and friends all over the place. Amen. Here and today. Amen. And sadly, some may even hear this after the rapture. Amen. You know, I just thank God for this opportunity. You know, this is the Christmas season. You know, people, you know, it's amazing how people say they don't believe something, but it bothers them. You know, things I don't believe don't bother me. So I think they're lying to themselves. Amen. But why try? You know, the strange thing is, what could be wrong with loving people, you know, even though some people only love this time of year? I mean, let's be real. Some people don't love all year long. Some people do. Some people don't. Amen. But amen. Let's go before the throne of grace, the privilege that we have that was paid for by Jesus Christ. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, before your throne. We thank you, Lord, that you paid for it with the blood of your own Son. We thank you for the revelation of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and give us a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, those of us that are yet facing challenges, we ask that you would strengthen them with might in their inner man. Amen. Bless them, Lord, to be able to stand in the growing or prosper in love, Lord. Bless them to understand the depth of love, the height of your love. Amen. The width. Amen. The fullness thereof, so that they can grow and be fruitful in every good work. We ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Lord, I ask that you would bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have us to know. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we're just a few days away from what is commonly referred to as Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you've been following me, you should be. If you have been following me and calling out to God and asking him for revelation, I think you should better understand how significant Christ is. You know, the Bible tells us, it says, to give honor to whom honor is due. See, and Paul in Romans chapter 14 said, one man esteems a day and another man does not. Okay? So, you know, the fact that this is a, quote, man-made holiday or a day that man chose to honor Jesus Christ for the work that he did for our lives, the fact that it is not the exact date, if God wanted it to be the exact date, he would have printed it. You know, when you go back into the Old Testament, you will find, I was reading, you know, they were talking about the Sabbath day. One of the Sabbath days comes on the seventh month on the 10th day. And it God, God said that, excuse me, said that it would be a statute forever that they don't keep. And the 10th day don't always fall on a Saturday, in case you may have noticed. But that's when God is being specific. Now, Romans, it also says, give honor to whom honor is due. Now, if you haven't got the revelation of Jesus Christ, then I understand it. It doesn't, he doesn't, you don't think he deserved the honor. But if you, like most of us, you know, we realized that we needed him. We need a savior. Even though the fact that you did not ask to be born does not exempt you from the reality that you are here and in need of a savior. It is just that way. The fact that my father went and got my mother pregnant because she was so fine, I seen them young pictures of her, amen, is irrelevant that I came out. God intended for me to be here. Now, he laid out a specific plan on how I should be taught and bred and brought about to the reality of him. And they did what they knew to be the best, okay, and God finished. But the one thing they prayed, especially my mother, and it did manifest. You know, I now have the reality of Jesus Christ. And had I not had that, I would be doomed. That, you know, I'm well past what they call the age of accountability. There's debates on what that is. You know, I'm not going to even waste time on that issue. The issue is we needed a savior. God knew that. He knew that day one when he decided that he was going to create us his family. He knew there would be a need for a savior because the character of our nature, the type of our nature would have demanded that. Particularly, God is not a compromiser. He said to be ye holy as I am holy. See, so the fact that we got issues and we struggle with that is irrelevant too. Okay, so he knew there would have to be some compensation because it would be a process in our growth. Amen, and understanding. Because if you've been listening, I've been trying to help you understand we're not a very simple creature like a doll or a puppet in a show. You know, there's this ventriloquist I like to watch, you know. And we're not dummies. We're not somebody with their hand up our back pulling knobs and switches and all that. We are a thinking creature. We are made in the image. And the part that really escapes people is the likeness of God. And that is so awesome that I think people put it out their head. You know, fortunately, yesterday I had an opportunity. I was in just outside of Cleveland. And on my way back, the person that I was with, was open to listen to what I had to say. They were saved, amen, a committed person to Christ, but they had never heard that concept of training day of this in this laid in this manner as the way I've been putting it out, particularly when I talk about in Genesis chapter 2 when God breathed, he separated a breath, he created a spirit, and that spirit had the capability of building a body such as we wear today, and that is repeated every time we transfer sperm. It goes and finds an egg and builds a body and comes out 9 months later, amen, as a being that, you know, we marvel at, you know, with features and parts of the body, of the anatomy that wasn't present initially when it was just a sperm. It'd be different if that was the case. It's kind of like a mold that you would put in, put a product in, put some dirt in, and then pump some spirit life into it, and all the organs would be there. It didn't work that way. Amen. I marvel at that. I know a man that we're not real close friends, but he's an obstetrician. He delivers babies, and he's been, I don't know, maybe about 20,000 of them right now, and he said it never tires him. It's fascinating to watch new life constantly coming. So this capability, this likeness character that we have of God demands responsibility. Amen. This is why, sadly, so many good people wind up in hell. You got to realize, roughly, generally, statistically, only about 3% of the population is really totally rebellious. And to the point that they'll act out criminally, okay? So what we're talking about just today is just a little different, but not really. It's not even the end. It's it's where we've been headed for the last 7 weeks, and I've been talking about the fact that Christ is not Jesus' last name. You know, it's called who and what is the Jesus Christ. Well, what is the Christ? The Christ. And I've been trying to draw a picture so that you understand that that this has been God's plan all along to reveal this. And that part is the next Christ, is the next phase of man. The first phase was Adam. And all the way through, when God would operate with men and his spirit would be operating, he would deal with them in a different manner. To have Christ on the inside, have the Holy Spirit on the inside of a man was a little bit different. It did not occur until Jesus came. Amen. So this is, we want to go back into our starting point of Mark chapter 8. I do want to, but this is so much. This is so good, but I'm going to read this. And just to bring people up to date, up to where we are. And Jesus went out, Mark 8, verse 27 in the KJV, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, or others, one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. Amen. You know, in another account, Jesus told Peter, say, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you. Let me see if I can find it. The Son of the Living God. Anyway, so the Christ is a composite of where God was going all the time. Because from what I observe in the Bible, for the 1,000 years that Jesus will be on the earth physically ruling from Jerusalem, there will be two types of persons. There will be those that survive the tribulation period that will still be in common flesh and blood. Okay, praise God. We are having technical difficulties again. And then there are those who will be us, who have transitioned into a supernatural type being that is identical to what Jesus is now. Now, you really got to understand the magnitude of that, because we saw some things as we've been looking at some issues throughout the Bible history of events that occurred with men when the power of God was upon men. And those events occurred to give, not just to entertain us, but to give us a revelation of what this is about. Because we're talking about tremendous power, and if you've been seeing, men struggle with that. You know, you can look at how they handle money and how we have billionaires and homeless at the same time. It's clear to me that God don't have a problem with billionaires as long as they're no homeless. You know, God expects men to work for a living if they're able, and he's shown many circumstances. He even expresses that. He expressed that through Paul, and Paul said if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. I mean, it kind of speaks to itself. All right, but right now we want to really just address the issue or talk of the issue of Jesus Christ specifically. You know, one of the most astounding facts, now I'm going to Isaiah chapter 7, because Isaiah, it was called the eagle-eyed prophet. In other words, he could see down the road a long ways. And you get that way by commitment. The closer that James, Jesus' brother, that's what I believe he is, in the book of James said, if you draw near to God, I believe it was James, it might have been Peter, but I know it says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And we see that element, and we see that demonstrated in different characters in the Bible. One particular character, Enoch, was so close to God that God, like as the Bible say in the book of Hebrews, he translated him. In other words, made him, brought him into the full being of where we are going. And this happened before the flood. So, you know, and he, in other words, he never died. God brought him into the full spiritual being that we are going to be at the point of the rapture, and that others become after they die. You know, recently had another friend pass off the scene. All right. So we're talking in the book of Isaiah, and what's significant about this, think about this. This was done, and I'm saying this for the benefit of the new people that have probably never picked up a Bible or went to a church where they didn't really read the Bible or do an analysis breakdown, or went to a church where they do teach this and they never attended Bible class, so they didn't get in, they didn't take the initiative then to do it on their own, but they're here now. Amen, under the anointing, under the impetus of God. Anyway, so we're going to read here in Isaiah chapter 11. Now, I understand that this happened approximately, this was written 600 years before the event occurred. And it's tremendous because, I mean, God is, as he says early in the book, later on in the book of Isaiah, and repeatedly, that he is the only person that knows the future and can tell future events before it happened. That distinguishes him from all those who claim they are God, because none of those other gods, who really they are no other gods, they're just demons manipulating people. That's the real. I mean, that's really what's going on. God said there are no other gods. If you read the book of Isaiah all the way through, you know, you'll hear God repeatedly demand that they show up, and they never do. And you might even notice that since Jesus showed up, all these alleged gods, Zeus and Mars and all these other folk that showed up, Neptune, disappeared. They haven't shown up since then. Because there's a different environment that came into manifestation once Jesus was resurrected and the Holy Spirit was poured out into the earth. Amen. They couldn't clown like they do now. I mean, like they did then. But I want to read this. Now, I understand. Now, this is, I don't want to get too deep in this because I don't want to obscure it. I want you to see where we how this Christmas holy day, that's what holiday really means, holy day, it came about, you know, and why, you know. But anyway, it says, I'm going to start with verse 10. It says, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. That's deep. Okay. And then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? The Lord, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, think about that. I mean, that's a perception that man on his own would never have come up with, especially, the fact is it just didn't fit his that don't fit the way we normally think. You can see that if you talk to a person, and particularly an unbeliever, that the fact of a virgin birth, you know, will draw a question. That doesn't make, as they would call it, sense. And in reality, it don't. But it makes God sense. That's a different level. Now, it is said that Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies. Now, the deepness about that is they say the odds of fulfilling half that many is far and beyond imagination. The odds would be something like 1 trillion to 1 of him fulfilling 150 prophecies, totally accurate. Now, that was written, like I said, 600 years ago, so we fast forward 600 years, and we have the situation in Matthew chapter 1, where the angel comes and visits Mary, a virgin, amen, a descendant of David, amen, and her husband Joseph, ironically, a descendant of David, and you have this statement in verse 23, after she then gave birth. It said, the virgin will be with child. Okay, wait a minute. This is before. I'm sorry. Correct me on that. It said, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Okay? And as you know, she gave birth. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 25, talking about Joseph, it said, when Joseph woke up, verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now, mind you, typically for marriage to be official, it has to be consummated, okay, which means they have to have sex with each other. Amen. But it's also, mind you, something to ponder. When folk out there just treat sex like it's a sport, anytime you have sex with somebody, that's an act of marriage, okay? Because marriage license, that document, that property document you get, because that's pretty much all it is only 500 years old. This event here took place 2,000 years ago, and then it goes back further than that. You do not find that. You know, marriage is you had witnesses of the event that you went in. They had a lot of things different. I'm not going to get into that back then, but it was a witness event. The men, a guy living with his mother and without a job, couldn't get a wife. That's another thing to ponder. If he didn't have some home to take her to, that wasn't happening. Unless his father had a very large dwelling where they could have their own private means. And matter of fact, I'm not going to get off into that either, about how mansions came about. Okay, but it says, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus as he was instructed, which means God, Jehovah is our salvation. Amen. That's what the name Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua, you know, people debate over that with no knowledge of the Hebrew language. Just as an FYI, there are no vowels. No vowel, no A-E-I-O-U in the Hebrew language. Now, run into that. But look at this. To coordinate this, this was not done with the use of what they call time capsules, where somebody wrote something down and dug a hole and buried it, and then somebody 50 years later dug it up and read it and then carried it out. This didn't happen that way. That concept didn't exist. But the fact of the reality stands for itself. I mean, I'm living evidence. I know I am to myself because I've experienced Matthew 3:11 being baptized by Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit. That's a whole different event by in and of itself. You know, I mean, you think about what is going on. You know, years ago, it's about approximately 1975, this was 76. This was after I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I had asked God, because, you know, I was young in the Lord, and I asked him, why do you let Christmas exist? Because there was all this drama going on then, you know, with people wanting to debate it. And I'm like, why do you care if I want to show love on Christmas? Why do you care if I just want to be happy on December 25th? You know, at that time, I didn't know it wasn't his birthday, actual birthday, but I now know how that came to pass, and it's irrelevant. You're allowed to do anything that does not violate a commandment. And God said, give honor to whom honor is due. And if you don't think Jesus is due honor, hey, man, I mean, there's some people I don't think deserve honor, and I'll treat them with respect. But, this is what this is about, because one thing is about to happen when the rapture occurs. A whole lot of people going to know some things. I mean, the fact that we know what's going down right now follows the pattern of the Bible. We have advanced knowledge of what's coming. See, we know where this is going. We're not hoping and guessing. We know what the word says, and the fact that men have been getting saved and delivered and miracles are still happening. You know, and there is nothing of surprise here, see. But the fact of the matter is that this did come to pass, that with many other miracles. I mean, Jesus, when you go back and read, he got up in the morning and went out and walked through the people, and if they had a need, he met it. He was laying hands on the sick, and the blind was seeing, and people were getting up walking, and I mean, this was an all-day affair. That's why he went to sleep on a boat in the middle of a storm. The disciples was worried. He got up, spoke through the storm. See, and the significance is that God is bringing this power through him to us in that name. In that name. This is just so powerful. All right, so we talked about it, and I want to go back to Isaiah, amen, and go to chapter 9, because, I mean, this dude here, he was on it. See, Isaiah, I mean, you know, Jesus said in John 16:13 that the Holy Spirit will show you things. And this is the thing that has happened back then. See, when you commit to God, see, I can give you information, but God will give you revelation. And that's significant in the fact that you really need to be dependent on God. I'm just here to highlight some things, you know, to share some things. But when it comes down to it, you're supposed to take it and chew on it and go and sit with God and let him give you the revelation, because your life is different than mine. Okay, some of y'all, most of y'all, a lot of the people I've been talking to is half my age, if not younger. So things that you experience, everything that I know, everything that my experiences might not fit the need that you have. I mean, you're working in it. Y'all living in an environment where the general labor force is becoming more and more computerized and electronic. And so entrepreneurialism in this era is far different from what it was during the blue-collar era that I came up with. But God got an insight on everything. And you want this relationship because when you run into what would be considered an impossible situation, you have, by being in Christ, being a Christian, having received Christ, you have access to God's promises to meet your needs and beyond that. That's critical because, one, you know, somebody was, we were communicating about this issue of COVID and the military personnel being ordered to take shots. You know, 1 first off, you know, you can see this is one of the promises. When my first thought was, I go in and out the airport on a regular basis, all right? And I knew that they were going to see the Constitution in America protects you against the government, not private business. And private business have their own rights, okay, that are given them by the Constitution. So for their own benefit and for the benefit of people they serve, they put out demands, okay? Now, so to not have to deal with all that, I looked at what the promises of God offered me, and that is protection. See, it's in Mark 16:18, it says that if I take any deadly thing, I know they did a rush job on this vaccine, but at the same time, when you rush, you can rush something when you have experience. It would be different if they did not know coronavirus existed at all. It would not be. It would be different if they had no experience in the research and the technology today compared to the technology of the 30s is so far different. It's the same as the difference between a horse and a jet plane. And then there's the aspect, I actually believe some scientists are saved. And a person that's saved in any profession has the advantage or the opportunity to go to God to get revelation on how to get something done. And then you got behind that all the Christians that actually know how to pray and qualify to get a prayer answer. There is some qualifications. All the promises of God have requirements, okay? So I saw too much of what God has done. I belong to a church, amen, and my producer teaches people how to be individual with God according to his word. And you will have the same benefits that you've seen in the Bible. So I wasn't concerned about the government and my rights. Now, I do understand when they wanted to shut churches and all that, you know, I belong to a church where, you know, there was an expectation that healing would manifest because we believe that. There are churches that don't believe that. But guess what? Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if you don't believe that, yeah, you're in jeopardy. You know, see, so I had more reason. I didn't have to be concerned about that. There's more, listen, believe me, there's more stuff floating in the air. There's more diseases and sickness. There's stuff out there the government don't even bother to tell you that is far dangerous. I have seen with my own eyes a disease that eats flesh that's loosely in America. So believe me, if you know somebody that actually involved in epidemiology, which is the study of diseases, they'll tell you some things that you'll probably lose sleep in life because it comes back to this. I'm in Christ. I am protected. I am sealed. See, you know, somebody called me a holier-than-thou. I told them, well, it'd be being an unholier-than-thou. I wasn't insecure about nothing. See, they got issues. They, you know, I don't have issues. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not even worried about that. Remember, last week I talked about Elisha. Elisha had the anointed, a double anointing of God. But he died in 2 Kings chapter 13. But he had so much anointing left in his bones, which means he had probably been dead over a year, that they threw a dead man on him, and the dead man revived, but yet it did not revive him. See, that was an early action of the anointing. Remember, we explained that Christ means the anointing one. Messiah means the anointed one. That's how God operates in the earth. See, we're so much for us to learn that it will take time for us to get this. It will take time. All right, so and that's what this is about. It ain't about, as they say, Jack Frost lifting at your nose. It ain't about the Santa Claus. David's crusading just, he perverted Santa Claus. Okay, Saint Nick was a designation, I forget which pope, he gave to a man that was, back then he could do that, climb in these poor folk windows and leave toys for the kids for encouragement purposes. And that's how Santa Claus was born. Again, then it became commercialized and people hung up and giving gifts. I recently sent texts out to my children and say, listen, y'all love me enough, don't buy me no gifts. I don't need anything. I don't need getting a phone call, getting a hug from them is far more significant because that comes directly from them. I realize that. I know some of them going to violate that anyway, but the fact of the matter is I am so enamored with the fact I've had the opportunity to listen to my children pray. And, you know, you can tell when people have religious prayer and they have relationship with God prayer. That's something you can't buy. That God told me years ago. See, I have a unique situation. I had kids. I have what they call twin blended families. So, you know, my life was challenged. But he told me if I walk upright before him, he will bless my children. That's all I was concerned about. And he kept his word. See, so all this is about being able to operate in the power of God. That's what Christ, Christ, the power of God. We haven't even got that far yet. That's in the book of Corinthians. See, the whole story of the Bible is about Christ. But if Christ is God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, Jehovah with us. He's on our side. We just have to learn the conditions as to how to access the power. The more we submit to him, the more he will reveal to us. The more mature we act, the more he will reveal to us. Okay, now, let's go. We're going to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to go with verse 6. Now, again, this is written 600 years ago, okay? It says, for unto us is born, For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, God going to do this. So God is talking about something that he is going to do in the future, okay? And without question. Now, let's fast forward 600 years. We're going to it. This is Luke telling a part of this story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have some say-so over this issue. We're not going to cover all of them. But it says, now, I really want to touch on this because I'm going to go back to Isaiah chapter 60 after I get to this because I love it. You know, people like to, they don't, see, you can't put this in human norm. You got to put this in a God norm. You got to deal with this as like, okay, he's omnipotent. This makes sense. You can't put this in human. Because listen at this. This is in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. I mean, you got to do a type of, I guess, anatomical spiritual analysis on that to get this, because it's a transition effect that just for the point, as an FYI, we'll get to this later on down in this study of this Christ person. The term Lord Jesus Christ really did not occur or did not belong to him until after his resurrection. That's a distinct difference because you'll find in the Bible that it reads sometimes the Son of Man and then you have the Son of God, and that's why he was executed. Jesus was charged with blasphemy to make that claim. And the reason only very few people sought God over that issue, but the ones that did got the revelation. There was a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he just declared that, he said, we know that what you're doing is of God. But here it says, born to you is our Savior. See, and if you read this in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 16, it says, you will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at royal breasts. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. You know, I mean, all this is a summation of God making a promise. And in this particular verse in Isaiah 60:16, you have all capital letters, Lord, which always indicate that mighty name, Jehovah. That name is a statement of power. It says, since he's omniscient, it says he's the only God. It says he's all powerful. It says you can't go anywhere in the universe that I am not. He the only one has those three major characteristics of omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. There is no limit on him. And we have access to that power. We like to think that we really could handle that. If God really thought we could easily handle that, we wouldn't go through life as we do. Remember, you're not going through things in life to prove to God that you're worthy of heaven or his kingdom. Jesus paid for that. You got to prove to him that you can handle power and that you are willing to be submissive to him. And I can tell you from experience that the longer you're at this, the greater the challenges will be. And you'll notice the growth that you will stop whining and complaining when you have challenges. You will reach into the depths of the spirit that God have bestowed. That's stored into you by revelation knowledge and pull out the weapons of your warfare and do what you need to do and go on about your business. You're not going to live this life without a challenge. You're not. Satan ain't getting locked up until after the 7-year tribulation. Okay, so in the meantime, welcome to training day. Final exam. You know, that's a phrase that I use. All right. So, again, here you have this situation. But the fact is God knew we were going to need him, and he wants us to understand that we need him. There's people that, look, the majority of people don't believe it. The majority of adults right now, out of 7 billion people, don't believe that they need Jesus Christ as Savior. They think, I'm good. This ain't a moral competition. Okay? Morally, you might be superior. I don't know. Yeah, some people say they are. But to me, if you're not doing what God say, how he say, when he say, your morals and his morals, he said my ways in Isaiah chapter 55, he said my ways are higher than yours. You know, it's a lot. Again, as I've been saying, there's God good and there's man good. See, man, life begins in the heart of God. In Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 5, God told Jeremiah, he said, before you entered your mother's womb, I knew you. That was the first time I read that. I knew then where life began. So what we think that now, right now, before the Supreme Court, my pastor has us praying over those 9 members of the Supreme Court because the decision they make is going to affect the nation. You know, sin works like this. Your sin is private with just you. God judge you privately. When it becomes public, he judge you publicly. When it becomes state level, the state suffers. When it becomes federal level, the nation suffers. Right now, look, we got situations going on. Some things, the challenge now is to pray knowing that at the same time I'm praying, they're plotting to work against God at the same time. There's some things that should have been changed a long time ago. I'm not going to discuss them right now because this is the point. The point of this is we wouldn't even have a revelation if God didn't give it to us. And we could not, he couldn't deal with us. He could not sanction us. He couldn't sanctify us if he hadn't sent his son to die for us. We would be hopeless. We would be, as Paul said, all men most miserable. We would be very miserable. We would be destitute. You know, I ain't going to say what I would do, but the bottom line is this is the manifestation of love. God's if you will see 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 manifested, particularly in our lives, you know. I mean, you're talking about long suffering? So, okay, so we the point I'm trying to get you here, I want to go through one more, Matthew chapter 2. I might have covered it. I just want to make sure. I'm just want you to have a very Merry Christmas, and I want Christ to me, that's just a fulfillment of a prophecy. But the fact is, okay, now look at this. Here's another one. It says in Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins from the old ancient time. All right? Now, I want to read that from the KJV. It's strange that would be more in English, more simpler to understand. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall be he who come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. In other words, this has been part of the plan all along. Okay? God is able to keep his word. Because, again, you got to look at the whole picture of what God is doing. We're going to be part of his family eternally. And we're going to have access to power that we don't have full access right now. And that's because you've seen what has happened. I recently was told, and I haven't confirmed it, so I'm not going to really speak about it, but I do know this. I saw some things, you know, during the COVID outbreak. I saw a lot of Christian leaders die. That's never happened before, and I'm talking about 100. And I've been told that there are more than that. A lot of that, and again, that's to get to get people attention, see. That's one of them I call a Gen 50-20 effect, you know, where Satan meant something for evil, but God going to turn it around for something for good, because that'll get people's attention. See, you know, like I said, we're moving into part two of life. It's three parts. Part one is from Adam all the way up to rapture to the end of the tribulation period, actually. Part two is the 1,000-year reign. It's specific. The Bible is very specific. 1,000 years to the day. Okay? And then part three. In part three, Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. That's in Revelation chapter 20. Okay? And then God creates a new heaven, new earth, brand new, because see, we done exploded nuclear bomb. America by itself exploded 1,000 nuclear bombs. I don't know how many Russia exploded, and then France was exploding. I mean, they've been exploding bombs, you know, I mean, it, like they were firecrackers. So all that, the laws of matter don't change. So the fact of the matter, all that radiation's in the air, they're talking about global warming. Ain't got nothing to do with these fossil fuels. They know a lot of y'all young folk don't even know that they was blowing up nuclear radioactive bombs all over the planet. First they was blowing them up on top of the earth. Somebody told them they was polluting the atmosphere. The geniuses start exploding them inside the earth. Then they start having, now we having these multiple earthquakes. So God, the only one, had the capabilities of fixing this. I want you to understand that this is not a religious holiday. It's a reminder. This is why God would hold Sabbath days, reminders that he is God, a reminder that you need God, a reminder that you need your revelation from him, you need your provision from him. You know, sadly, before the COVID broke out, I met a young lady, thought that her education and her mental skills would give her the ability to survive any and everything. And then, boom, everything got shut down. See? And this ain't over. This ain't over. I'm not going to tell you what the Bible got to say about this. There's lots of things about what's going to happen on YouTube. This is something. Like I said, so Christ is an incumbent or this the second aspect of man, and the power of God operating with man is the same as I was using as an example yesterday. It's the difference between, if you're familiar with airplanes, well, I know everybody's familiar with cars. I put it like that. It's different. When I was young, we used to have these little push cars where people get behind you. We even built our own. Some people's parents bought them one, but they didn't have power, okay? The only power was a human behind you pushing you. And that's the difference between before Christ and after you become in Christ, is the difference in having a powerless car versus having a car like a Ferrari with a whole lot of power. You need to learn how to drive it. You need to learn what it is. See, overseas, they tell me you can't just go in a dealership, buy one, and drive off with it. That's smart. Some states now require powerful cars to you to go through a training process before you drive off the lot with it. I remember when I first bought my first motorcycle, one of the guys that had bought his motorcycle, just turned the throttle, the bike stood up, and boom, he went right across the major street and crashed. So it's a lot to this. But what you got here is the main thing about Christmas is God is allowed, there's always an exchange with praise. It's always, so if nothing else, I tell you what, I guarantee you, if you will praise God during this time, even if you've never praised him before, I guarantee you he will bless your inner man with revelation you never had before. He'll even open up some doors. You'll find out that you, because once you find out you have access to power, you like to maintain a continuity. And that's so that whatever challenge you face, you will always know that you have a promise of God. There are books on the promises of God. You quote God's promise to him and said, God, you promise. He don't mind you doing that because he can do it. He can bring it to pass. See, there's a lot of criteria to that, as I said. You know, there's stipulations with all the promises of God, but he keeps his word. He'll go so far to help you keep the stipulation. If you can't get it, he will strengthen you. And every situation is different. See, you know, I mean, it's really different. So the bottom line is, it's just enjoy this period of time. This is Christmas. This is, you know, God, I looked at it in the book of Acts. God said that he will pour out of his spirit. Now, that's a different statement. See, we've been saying pour out his spirit. You need to go back and read that, because he's talking about his intellectual capability. So that brings about revelation that we don't treat in theological universities. You know, a person, a well-known man of God that he was a real blessing. Unfortunately, he passed away. He said he had went to seminary school for 4 years And out of that whole time, they never taught one class on the kingdom of God. Think about that. Because all this comes back to that issue, the kingdom of God, which Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If there's a kingdom, then there's a king. And if there's a king, he has laws, rules, and regulations and stipulations. And that's what you want to do, because that lasts forever. Everything else that you experience right now is temporary. I don't care. Look around you. Everything, including the face you see in the mirror, well, the flesh you see in the mirror, is going to be temporary. See, when we come back, I'll look the same, but I won't be the same. All right? So, we get to that point right now, amen, where you decide if you want to be part of this. Listen, none of us understand this when we first begin this journey, because it's tremendous. But I guarantee you this, if you accept Christ and you read his word and you spend time talking to him, just talk to God, you know what, and don't... God didn't come from England, so you don't have to speak in the King James version of the conversation. I don't care where you come from. Talk to him like you know how to talk to him. Don't be scared to ask him questions, especially if you're new in him. But you have to have, in order for him to directly communicate to you, see, then you need to do this. Now, we're going to pray this prayer. And this legally gives God access to you and gives you access to his promises. And then if something happens and you pass off the scene, you'll be escorted by angels to heaven rather than demons to hell. So pray this prayer. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe you sent him to die on Calvary's tree, bearing all my sins. And I believe that he rose from the dead and is alive right now. And I say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Amen, right now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that I am born again and that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And if you slid away from God through circumstances and situations, just say this, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask forgiveness according to 1 John 1:9. And I ask forgiveness for my sin, and I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, anyway, I would just say enjoy and have a Merry Christmas. Just enjoy it. You know, don't let it be about money. Tie a ribbon around your neck. For those that's watching the video, you see I got on my red shirt and tie. I don't really wear shirt and ties that often. But I just wanted to put on a little Christmas color. You know, I enjoy Christmas. You know, I mean, I really just enjoy people. I like being happy, you know. Hallelujah. So, and with that, just remember, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. God is love. Shalom. Merry Christmas. And I'll probably see you before the next year. Be blessed.
Merry Christmas, Terry. Merry Christmas, Mother. Merry Christmas, Taz. Christmas, Yolanda. Merry Christmas, bro.
Merry Christmas, Kurt.
It's time.
It's time again for the holidays. With pain and sorrow miles away. But in my spirit, I gotta say, there's no Christmas without you. With caroling and mistletoe, children playing in the snow. But in their hearts, the world must know, there's no Christmas without you.
Your gift?
Your gift of love.
Yeah. put on a victory. Monica Neely. Carry on. Uncle Jesse. Who else? Lord David. Jesus' birthday. Tammy, I can't forget Tammy. But it's Jesus' birthday. Happy birthday, Tammy. We love you. Let's say it again. Your gift.
Gift of love.
Such a sacrifice.
Such a sacrifice to give.
Sent from above.
Sent from above.
Yeah.
So let me shout forever.
So with our voices.
So with our voices. Jesus, you're the reason why there's no Christmas without you.
David, can we say that for us? Let's say, there it is.
There's no Christmas without you. There's no Christmas time
without
you.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Yeah. That's Silent Night. Let's say that again.
There is no
without you. What's his name?
Jesus.
Yeah, you better act like you know it then. Come on, family, let's say it again.
Come on,
David, let's say that again. Without you.